The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Amen. James chapter 5. The Epistle of James chapter 5. Last week I began to talk about what it means to be converted. And as I was preparing the lesson for today, and I was thinking about so many people, and you know just as many as I do, that have been wounded, they've been hurt, they have left the church, and oftentimes they left the church because they've stumbled somehow. They made a mistake. They were overtaken in temptation. But because the church was not an environment of unconditional love and acceptance, they've stayed away from the church. Because they knew that the church was a place of judgment and condemnation, guilt and fear. But I'm telling you, the church has to be a place, it has to be a place where we have enough of the love of God in us to convert the backslider. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, converting the backslider. Now, everybody know what a backslider is, so I won't take a lot of time on that. And I'm talking about a backslider, not a backstabber. So I'm talking about how to convert a backstabber, a backslider rather. So some will stab you in the back, but that's another message for another day. We want to talk about how to convert or converting the backslider. Now in the Epistle of James chapter 5, beginning at verse 19, and I really need you to read with me. It's important for me to know and for you to clearly understand and know that when I'm reading you the Word of God, I ain't making stuff up. Amen? I'm not giving you no homemade scriptures. I'm not giving you anything that mama and daddy and them said. I'm giving you God's Word. So it's important to read with me. In James chapter 5, look at verse 19. Brethren. Everybody see that? That includes the sistering as well. Brethren, brethren, I'm going to say that again, brethren. He's talking about brothers. Brethren, if anyone among you, anyone where? Anywhere? Anyone where? Among you, that is in the church. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know he's going to hell. But see, that's what the church has been saying. Let him know he's going to burn. Something bad going to happen to you. That's not what my Bible say. My Bible says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner, and the correct translation for that is to turn the sinful from the error of his way, will be saved, will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. So let him know. If you're dealing with a backslider, let him know. God still loves him. Let him know. God says to you, if you turn that sinful person from the error of its way, you will be saving a soul from death. In other words, from spiritual alienation and spiritual separation from God. And God says you'll also be covering a multitude of sin. Now, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 12 tells us that love covers all sins. I need to say that again. Love covers. Love doesn't expose. Love covers all sin. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins. Is that right? Now, I told you last week that to be converted is to revert back or to be turned back to God. Now, when a believer strays away from God, when a believer backslides, when a believer errs, when that believer returns to God, we call that restoration. But there is no restoration unless it's preceded by repentance. You cannot be restored to God if you're not sorry for what you've done. How many hear what I'm saying? So a believer who wanders from the truth and begins to live a life inconsistent with his or her beliefs, that believer is living in sin. Now, there's much disagreement. There's much disagreement over whether or not it's impossible to ever lose your salvation. Now, but we all will agree on this one thing. If you move away from your faith, you need to repent and be restored back into God. Now, the other night I was asked a question. It was a very poignant question. He says, well, if a person commits suicide, does that mean they go to hell? Now, I've heard that all my life that I can remember, that even a believer, if you take your own life, you're going to hell. Now, the problem with that is you don't have it in the Bible. Somebody said, what about Judas? Thank you for asking. Nowhere in the scriptures, nowhere in the gospels, does it say that Judas went to hell. Tradition says that, but not the Bible. Let me tell you what the Bible says. When Judas betrayed Jesus, and he certainly betrayed Jesus, Judas felt so guilt-ridden, he took the 30 pieces of silver and he threw it back at the chief priests and the elders in the temple. Then he went out and hung himself. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 25, when they wanted to replace Judas as one of the apostles, they never said Judas went to hell. And I've looked at all the translations of the Bible. Most of them said Judas went to his place. Other translations might say Judas went to his own place. Then the NIV says Judas went to where he belonged. But it doesn't say Judas went to hell. If some of you were to die today in the Lord, it would be rightful for me to say you went to where you belong. Now, why would God send Judas to hell when it was prophesied in the Psalms that one of Jesus' own companions would betray him? How's that Judas is part of the plan and the purpose of God to betray the Christ? He's only fulfilling what God had already prophesied. And God going to send you to hell for that? We got to be careful about saying who went to hell and who didn't. And we carry that same legalistic mindset, that same legalistic spirit, and it spills over in dealing with other believers. Because you've made a mistake, because you stumble somehow, something bad going to happen to you. And if you don't get right, you're going to hell. Well, I think you better show me some Bible for that. Now, I've searched the scriptures diligently. It's not in there. So for me to say Judas went to hell is to misrepresent the gospel. But to say Judas committed suicide, he hung himself and died, that is true. So why do we think that if somebody takes their own life, they're going to hell? If the enemy comes and seduces a believer, you mean God's going to send you to hell? If the enemy seduces you to take your own life, you're going to hell? Let me break it down for you a little even better. I got 5 children. They're my children. And if one of my children were ever to take their own life, they're still my child. And how's it that a believer can be God's child, but the believer takes him life for some reason, and a lot of these things we don't understand. They're no longer God's child. Now, the question that was asked to me was in respect to a believer that hung himself. But we don't know the circumstances. They're mysterious. But they do know they found the believer hung and dead. But we don't know what happened. A demon could have seduced him. He could have been horsing around or something. I don't know. And accidentally hung himself. But suicide, let's understand suicide from a legal standpoint. Suicide is a homicide committed by self, not another person. And how's it that when somebody commits suicide, we're ready to say, you're going to hell, or they went to hell. That is nothing more than legalism and religion. I would think if you had the love of God in you, you would hope someplace, somewhere in you, that maybe they made it in. That's the love of God right there. So how do you convert the backslider? Here James tells us as believers that we should convert the backslider, not condemn the backslider, not ostracize or outcast the backslider, not make them feel like they're less than somebody other than who they really are. We shouldn't take a condescending attitude because somebody made a mistake. And at the same time, you're forgetting about the mistakes you've made. Somebody ought to say something. Here in our text, James clearly is talking about brothers throughout this chapter. He even talked about, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Those are believers. He also talked about confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another. Those are believers. Then when you get down to verse 19, he says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, some people stray. Don't raise your hand. Some of you strayed. But by the grace of God, you came back. You got back on the path, but you strayed away. The same way you can fire a firearm. Whether it's a handgun or a rifle, that bullet sometimes strays. And even though you're aiming at a target, sometimes that bullet will stray from the target depending on the environment and the conditions. Is that right? And spiritually, many of us, we've had a target. In other words, we have set Jesus Christ as our mark, as our goal in life, to be everything God wants us to be, but somehow, some way, we still strayed. But God didn't stop loving you. Some church folk may have stopped loving you, but God didn't stop loving you. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, here we see God wants us to help them come back. Not stay away. Let him know. Let him know. And this is what God wants you to know. If you're going to convert the backslider, if you turn that sinful person from the error of his way, you'll be saving a soul from death, that is spiritual death. And you'll be covering a multitude of sin. Beloved, it takes a lot of love to do that. But guess what? God's giving you that love. Is that right? So how do you convert the backslider? The perfect solution is in Psalms 19, verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, come on, and the testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. Now let me explain that verse to you. The law of the Lord, in other words, the scriptures, the gospel, the word of God. The law of the Lord, the word is perfect. The law of the word. The law of God's word is perfect, converting the soul. So you don't need to try to restore nobody else, nobody, if you can't speak the word of God to them. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. If you'll just speak the truth and love to people, that word has a way of reaching the hearts of people, and it will convert their soul. And then the psalmist says, the testimonies of the Lord is sure. What is the testimony of the Lord? What is the testimony of the Lord? What is the testimony that I need to share with a person who has strayed away from God? What is the testimony of the Lord that's so sure? The testimony of the Lord is consistent throughout the Bible. And the testimony of the Lord is simply this, that the Lord is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. How long does his mercy endure? So why do we say when somebody died under mysterious circumstances that they went to hell when God said, my mercy endureth forever? How long is forever? How long is forever? So it's the law of the Lord that's perfect. It converts the soul. And the testimony of the Lord, it is sure. And it makes wise the simple. In other words, it gives wisdom to that foolish believer. That word simple means to be foolish, to be seduced. So that person has been foolish, been seduced by the enemy. It's the word of God that's going to give them wisdom. So if you can't come to a backslider with the word and give it and give that word in love, just stay away. You'd be better off just staying away. You don't take the word to beat up on somebody. Huh? No, God's testimony is sure. And we give thanks to him, come on, for he is good. God, tell somebody God is good. Yes, God is good, and his mercies endureth forever. So here in our text, James urged believers to help the backslider by taking the initiative to pray for him or her. And to act in love, for it's love that covers a multitude of sin. Then he says you got to meet the backslider where they are. You got to meet people where they are. You can't look at people that fall and say, you need to come on up higher and be like me. No, God meets us where we are. Think about it. And you remember where you were. And you remember how deep you have sunken in that pit. But God, no matter how low you were in that pit, God lifted you up out of that pit. And we got to be God-like in the same way. No matter what somebody's going through, we got to meet them where they are. Stop telling people you got to do this, that, and the other, and then God will do the other for you. No, God meets you where you are. Is that right? Isn't that what Jesus did for Peter? I talked about that last week. Jesus converted Peter after he backslid. Isn't that what Jesus did for Peter? Now remember, in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And Peter said to Jesus, oh no, Lord, I am ready. I am ready to go into prison and to go into death with you. And Jesus said, Peter, Peter, before this day is out, before the cock crows this day, three times you would have denied that you even know me. Now I need you to stay with me. Jesus said to Peter, three times you would have denied that you even know me. So when Peter denied Jesus the first time, he could have repented, but he didn't. He denied Jesus the second time, he could have repented, but he didn't. Then he denied Jesus the third time. Three is the number in scriptures for completion. He completely denied the Lord. In other words, Peter had completely slid back. But what did Jesus do after his resurrection? After his resurrection, the third time he appeared to disciples, he said to them on the Sea of Galilee, he said, come and dine. In other words, come on, let's have breakfast together. That word is breakfast. And as they sat at breakfast and ate, Jesus said to Peter, the same one who had denied him three times, he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. Then he asked him the second time, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Then he asked him the third time, and Peter was grieved in his heart. He was agitated. Peter, do you really love me? Peter said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. Then Jesus said to him again, feed my sheep. Peter denied him three times, but Jesus affirmed him three times. And we got to learn to be like Jesus to affirm that backslider, to let him know God still loves you. Come on. Stop pronouncing sentences on them like you executioner, judge, and jury. This is not our calling. Our calling is to love folk. Our calling is to be there with my God to undergird them, to be a pillar and a post they can lean on. I don't want a backslider avoid me because they think I'm going to condemn them. I want to be the one they gravitate towards. And so, you know, I'm going through this thing, and you know, I'm just struggling with it. And then I need to remind them how much God loves them. And have you considered his word? Because the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And his testimonies are sure. God still loves you. His mercy endures forever. Glory to God. So what is God calling us to do? He's not calling us to condemn anybody. He's not calling us to judge anybody. He's calling us to love everybody. Amen. We love the ones that are here. We love the ones who have left. And we love the ones that will come back. People don't want to come back to church when they leave. And oftentimes it's not because they don't want to get it right with God. They don't ever believe they can get it right with God's people. God's people are so messed up. And they don't want anybody condemning them and looking at them funny and looking at them sideways. And they say they're just better off just to stay away from the church. But maybe they haven't heard a message like this. Maybe they haven't heard the truth like this. Because the truth says some may wander away from the truth. But when they wander, then we need to take the initiative to turn them back. And how can you turn somebody in the way if you're out of the way? And if you got the wrong attitude, you're definitely out of the way. But here's your reward. God says, I want you to know this. If you turn that sinful person, and by the way, verse 20 is often used for soul winning, but it's not really a soul winning verse, but the principle is good for soul winning. It's talking about the sinful believer. But if you turn that sinful person from the error of his way, you save a soul from death, and you'll cover a multitude of sins. Why is it that we're so good at exposing sin rather than covering it? And when you cover sin, or you're dealing with somebody, the Bible doesn't say cover your sin. It says cover their sins. We need to be open and honest about where we are. And one of the best things we can do for a backslider is let them know, you know what, I went through that too. But we want to appear to them like we've always had it all together. Like we're all that in a bag of chips and we've never tripped, we've never stumbled, we never failed. But no, you cover their sin, but you don't cover your own sin. Come on, you confess your sin, come on, that they might be healed. Is that right? So converting the backslider, we need to be like Jesus. The same way he showed love to Peter and acceptance to Peter. Even though Peter had completely slid back. Another thing we should do is in Galatians chapter 6. Paul teaches us that there we ought to share. We ought to bear and share the burden of the backslider. Let me say it again. We ought to share and bear. Everybody says share and bear. Share and bear the burden of the backslider. Now what Paul says there, he says, brethren, there's that word again. If any man is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, how many think you're spiritual? Say amen. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, what goes around will come around. If you have nothing but judgment and condemnation for people, get ready. Get ready. You're in line for a fall. You see, a haughty spirit goes before fall and pride before destruction. Come on. So, brother, if any man is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Then he went on to say, bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. The law of Christ is in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. What are you saying? Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. If you don't want nobody putting you down, don't you put nobody down. But if you lift people up, people will be lifting you up. Is that right? So he said, you bear one another's burden. In other words, instead of being judgmental, we need to empathize with them. Come on. We need to put ourselves in their shoes and feel their pain and understand what they're going through. Most people that stray away didn't stray on purpose.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.